Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I've been jumping in and out of boats all weekend. If it's still, I don't know how to walk. Yeah, this is the suitcase that I carried from Cincinnati, Ohio on my trip to Anaheim, California, 1976. That's the suitcase. It was brand new then. I didn't clean it up because I've carried it around for 40 years. Every time we moved, everywhere we went, I kept it. What's it say on that side? West. On the other side, it says south, because I was headed west and I was going to go south on the highway and then west again into Anaheim. I hitchhiked from Cincinnati because I didn't want to spend the money on an airline ticket. I didn't have much money. Now I have a lot of money. Then I didn't have much money. I don't want you to ever give out of necessity. You give because the Lord has blessed you. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't ever be manipulated into giving. Would you say amen to that? Is that Bible? Is that all right? But I do believe in seed giving. I believe that you can put money in an offering and you are planting seeds. And I believe that you can participate, and you have participated in this trip. So it's more than just me. There's a blessing. So I hitchhiked to California. In Puebla, Colorado, a man named Dennis Gatlin picked me up early in the morning, and he took me south to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I talked to him about Jesus on the way to Albuquerque, and he was going to take Route 40 that goes east and west across the United States. He was going to go back east to Mobile, Alabama, where he lived, and when we saw the sign that said Route 40, 2 miles, he said to me, I'll take you to that conference if you'll keep telling me about Jesus. So I preached from Puebla, Colorado, all the way to California. I preached to him, and he drove. The night before he went home, well, let me tell you a little part of the story. He had been in Denver, outside of Denver, climbing mountains, a mountain climber, and he had fallen off a mountain, and he broke himself all up. He had fresh scars on his face, on his arm, and his leg was still broken. He had a cast on his leg. And we got to California. The morning we got there, about 5:30 in the morning, I took a bath in a rest stop sink like you do when you're hitchhiking. And we stopped in a restaurant to have breakfast, and my father was in that restaurant that we pulled up in that city and went to eat. My dad. So here I came walking in, my hair all scraggly, had a short shirt with a tear in the back of it because we'd been playing football, and Dennis Gatlin had a big afro and a broken leg. And all these preachers are in their suits. Yeah, it's serious. My dad got us a room. We stayed together a couple nights, and he was going to go home. And the night before he went home, he said, you take the car because a bunch of people are going to go to Huntington Beach Pier. Never been there, so I'm going to California. We're going to go to the beach. We're all going out. He said, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. I'll leave at 5 o'clock in the morning. I took his car, a couple of guys. We went to another hotel just across the street to pick up a couple of girls that were going to go with us, a bunch of guys and girls. Everybody's going down. We're all riding together. It's no big deal except the two girls that were with my wife, then just my friend, turned and went back into the hotel, left me with two other guys and Terry. And the two guys said, why don't you guys go? So they took off. Well, there stands Terry, and here's me. And I said, come on, let's go, Terry. Let's take a ride. Let's go to Huntington Beach. We'll meet everybody down there. So our first date was in Dennis Gatlin's car. Because I hitchhiked because I'm saving money to go to South Africa. 40 years ago. In November, Jacques Van Bommel stood here in front of me on that seat and said, I'd like you to come to South Africa. My heart leapt. In this suitcase today of the Bible that I carried back then. And I'm taking that Bible with me. I'm taking the suitcase with me. This is going to be my carry-on. I'm going to carry it and talk to people on my way. I'm going to tell somebody on my way to Africa why I'm going. You hear what I'm telling you now. So on my way, somebody's going to say, what's that about? And I'm going to have to tell them, I'm going, I'm destined. Somebody in the next 12 days is going to hear about Jesus that would not hear about it had it not been arranged. You said it, the trip and the timing and all of it is just converging right now. Now, I want you to get excited about that. I know that's kind of my story, and I know how personal that is to me, and it may not affect you, but 40 years ago. So last Wednesday morning, there's a cabin built with 8 beds, and there are 10 of us in the cabin, 10 men. It's hot, it's stuffy, the sound of men sleeping, and the sounds and smell that wake men up. I was trying to be spiritual. I wake up early for prayer. I woke up early that day and said, I got to get out of this cabin. I don't think I can find God in here. Wednesday morning, about 5:30, the sun had been up for quite a while. The Lord spoke to me. Do you believe that? I've been here almost 20 years. Do you believe he spoke to me? He spoke to me and freaked me out, totally confused me. I argued with him until kind of this morning. The Lord said to me these words, you are like me. My first response, not me. I'm not like you. I said, that's not God. Have you ever wondered if you heard the voice of God? Stay with me now. That's not God. It felt like the Holy Spirit. It sounded like the Holy Spirit, but I knew better than that. He said I was like him, and I know better. I know better than God. I'm smarter than God. I know stuff about me God does not know, or he would never have said, you are like me. I said, I'm not like you. He said again, you are like me. I said, well, okay, maybe on a good day, maybe for a minute, I'm like you. In a good minute on a good day, I'll take that. And he said it again, the third time, you are like me. I want to read a couple verses to you. Does that freak anybody out? I'm glad Terry's not here. I don't want her to hear me say that stuff. See, she knows me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to preach to you today about confidence. Everybody say confidence. Confidence, assurance of mind, firm belief, trust, reliance, boldness, courage. Reliance on one's own abilities and resources or circumstances. I felt like the Spirit said to me, you are like me. I argued. I said, no, I'm not. And he said it three times to me. Have you ever argued and you were wrong? I mean wrong. And you realize it right in the middle? Have you had anybody ever give you instruction and embarrass you because you should have known? I don't know who influenced my wife, but she bought me a man bag. I have a purse. You call it what you want, it's a purse. It goes over my shoulder, and it's a bag. It's a man bag. And she said, you can put your passport in, your wallet will go in there, and you can. And I'm going, I don't want that. So I hung it up, and she said, where's your bag? I said, I don't know, and it was right behind me. Have you ever... Listen to this verse, would you? Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this. Everybody say confidence. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So then I was left to my thoughts. He spoke to me. I am speaking to you. You are like him. How many of you have arguments against that? How many of you have a few reasons to say that's not exactly right? How many of you have reasons to say, I think probably we should take another measurement of that? We should assess this idea. So that happened three times on Wednesday morning, and now I'm mulling this over. This seed got planted in my head, and I started saying throughout the day, though I heard no more, I said stuff like, okay, sometimes. I'd concede a little bit. And Wednesday afternoon, I have a picture with pictures of the trip. I fished with a little boy. Hutton is 12, maybe? Is Hutton 12? We got these two skinny little kids that got, they're like a Mountain Dew on steroids. They were hilarious, bopping around. The day before, two days before, I'd fished with his brother, and I wore him out until the kid couldn't get out of bed the next day. Said, I'm staying in bed all day. I'm tired. And I thought, good, I'm going to wear this next one out. So I fished with Hutton, Mary, in the morning. This little 12-year-old kid, we're catching fish, we're having fun. We go back for lunch, and I said, let's go, Hutton. He said, I'm going to rest. I got to take a nap. It's true. So I took a boat by myself, and I went through a river and out another lake and then through another river and out the other lake. And the three teenage boys, we've got Noah. Hey, Noah, look back there at Noah. Noah was there when this happened. So Noah and his cousin and his other cousin, Noah and Harrison and Carter, there's two boats, two guys in one in the other, and they're fishing by this place that we knew there were fish and walleye, but they weren't biting. So I went way down at the other end of this lake. The wind was blowing in, and I thought to myself, I'm a fisherman, and I think about fish, and I think like a fish, and I'm thinking if I was a fish, I would be down there where they're blowing the wind minnows to me. So I went down there, and I start catching fish like crazy. So I turn around, and I drove all the way back, and I said to the guys, Harrison to take this rod and reel and that lure. Noah, put this lure on your rod. I said to Carter, get that lure, tie it on, and follow me. We all go buzzing down there, and God is my witness, we caught fish like crazy. Several times, all three boats had fish on. Screaming, we were the wolf pack, because last year we saw a wolf. So every time you catch a fish, you go, woo! So there's this echoing through this hills and cliffs, and they're catching fish. And I don't know, is that about 27 inches? Harrison caught a big 27 and a half inch walleye. We're catching walleye and throwing them in the boat, and northern pike are flopping in the boat. Woo! It's all over the place. It's just crazy. We're done. We're clapping. We got to go home. We're worn out. We caught more fish than we can imagine. And about 7 o'clock in the evening, he said, you're like me. Turn to John 21, please. John chapter 21. I've never preached this thought in my life. I waited all my life. How many of you know what the first miracle of Jesus was? Turned water to wine in Cana, the wedding, right? This is the last miracle that Jesus did. I'm going to read to you the last miracle that Jesus did, and it has to do with fishing. Early in the morning, verse 4, 21:4, John 21:4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at verse 9. Verse number 9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Now we have to speculate. I all my life thought he can put fish on a fire. But he knew right where they were. And he said to the boys, take this lure, take this fishing pole, follow me, I'm going to take you right to where the fish are. And he said, you're like me. You want to run back and get those boys and help them catch fish. And I'm becoming more confident. I'm becoming more sure. I'm starting to think about this. That there are things in you. For just a moment, forget the bad. Would you forget the bad for just a moment? Forget what everybody told you and what people have condemned you for and the stuff people have said is wrong with you. Would you forget that for just a minute? Because there are things in you that are right. That are like God. And there's a tug of war. There's a tug of war. And you have to put down even the thoughts of doubt. Because there are parts of you, things that God is working on. You are just like him. You're like him. And I said, well, yeah, today, maybe for a few minutes, I was thrilled to drive back, get those guys. And I don't know if Noah, I think it was Harrison, one of them said, that's the best fishing day of my life. We caught fish constantly. I mean constantly. The fish were just biting. They weren't over there. They weren't over there. Jesus said, put your net on the right side. I know right where they are. Go fishing where they're at. Listen to me. Secret number one. Fishing secret number one. Fish where the fish are. Turn around, give somebody a thump or a bump or a high five and say, duh, duh, fish where the fish are. Now, I declare to you on this Sunday morning before I go to South Africa that you are already confident in the bad. You already know there are things about you you're sure of. Somebody say, I'm sure. How many of you are sure? There's some stuff about you nobody else knows, but you're sure. There's just some stuff. That's why when they started singing Deliverance, I thought they were setting me up today because God can deliver you from those things. God can change the way you think. And something started happening in my head, and it's worked on me till this morning. Okay? I'm confident of this very thing. He that started a work in you is going to bring it to completion. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right? So there are levels of confidence. The first level, without thought, you don't even think about it. It never crosses your mind to wonder. You do it. You walk. How many of you can remember learn how to ride a bike? How many of you remember learn how to ride a bike? Did anybody have training wheels? Did anybody ever have someone grab the seat and run behind you and keep talking to you? Come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. I did that with my daughter, Tiffany. I'll never forget it. You can do it, Tiffany, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. You can. I let go. I'm 100%. You can do it, honey. You can do it. Dad's right here. And she's pedaling the whole time. She's riding the bike on her own. She didn't know until I stopped and she ran down the road. You remember that? So there's this, I'm sure. Everybody say, I'm sure. Everybody say, I can. Now this is without pause. There are things that you know without pause, without thought. It's not even a question. That's the highest level of confidence when it's in you. You don't have to be, they could wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, they could poke me, and I could bleed grace. I believe in it, right? There's the second level. And that is, you're challenged to do a thing. Maybe it's to drive. How many of you ever remember looking right at the car in front of you or right at the road rather than looking out? My dad taught me, look out, son. Look out several hundred yards ahead and let your peripheral vision keep you in the lane. Do you remember learning to drive? Right? So you have the second level is a thought, a consideration. You conclude, I can do this. It's going to be all right. I want to tell this to this wonderful grandmother today. I have confidence in God. He'll work this out. God will work it out. There's no way we can replace that baby. There's nothing in all anybody in the world could do to heal her heart. But God will work it out because we go through tragedies to teach us. I can be confident in him. I know. I had a thought, but I come to the conclusion God is going to do exactly what he said. There's a third level, and that is after the thought, after you think about what you're challenged to do or what you're trying to become, going to college, graduating from high school, getting a job, for some of you maybe getting a home. There's this third level where you consider it. You say, I think so. How many of you know the ones where there's no pause? You got that, I'm sure. Then you got to pause for a minute and you come to the conclusion you can. How many of you ever been asked or challenged and you say, well, I think so, maybe. Maybe. I've had a lot of that. I probably am stuck on number three with my faith at times. I say, I quote, you know, he can, but will he? Maybe. Come on. I'm talking about your confidence in God. I'm confident in him. I'm confident. Then the fourth level is maybe I'll try. I'm not sure. I guess. I hope so. How many of you ever had that kind of confidence? I go fishing with people that have that. I go fishing with guys on the 4 and 5 level. They go, if you show me where. Nate Saban and I went to the Boundary Waters, and he says, look at all that water, and you're telling me I'm going to catch one fish somewhere in there? Yes, Nate, stick with me, baby. I had somebody ask me, what if you went to the Boundary Waters and didn't catch any fish? I said, well, you probably just all shoot me because I'm done in life. That's the end of my life. I'm done. And then the last is I can't. Please put up 1 Samuel 17:32. 1 Samuel, this has been on my mind for 2 or 3 weeks. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about your destiny. Can I tell you, God does not make bad things to happen to people? Can you hear that? Can you hear that today? God does not make bad things happen to people. But life and chance happen to everybody, the wise man said. And God carries you through until finally you've been through enough. I hate the tragedy. I think you talked about it just a minute ago. You're preaching my message. I don't want to go through that. But there's something happening in you. Your confidence is being built. He didn't fail me. There's an old song we used to sing. He's already done what he said he would do. My confidence is being built, Cindy. I hate the trial. I hate cancer. I hate the sickness. I want to believe in the J word, not the C word. I'm trying to work all that. I'm going, maybe. I'm not sure. But the Lord spoke to me Wednesday morning and said, you're like me. And I'm going, no way. This is not God. And he said, I'm going to build your confidence. David said to Saul, don't lose heart on account of this Philistine. I'll go fight him. What? He's a young boy. I'll go fight him. Saul said, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he's been a warrior since his youth. David said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Would everybody laugh out loud? That'll get you ready for giants. He says to Saul, I've been a shepherd. And Saul's going, yeah. And when a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, let's read, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine's going to be like one of them. Think of the confidence this guy's got. I'm going, oh, I hate fighting bears, There was a bear that got in the cabin in the next lake from us. Is this true, Noah? Shout amen, brother. Broke the screens in and knocked the, there's a grill for grilling out, knocked it over, left paw marks on the windows. Stan, the guy that takes us in, said he's going to put some bait out and sit on the roof and going to have to shoot the bear because people are going to go live in there. Got to go kill the bear. I don't want to kill a bear with my hands. Right? I don't want to face a bear. David didn't either. But he realized God brought me through that, and he brought me through this, and I have confidence that he's going to do this also. I read that again this morning. I'm going, I tried to preach it 2 weeks ago. Now I realize why I didn't bring it up. He got confidence. He believed it. He didn't wonder. He's talking to Saul right in the middle of the conversation. He said, and just like that lion and that bear, I'm going to kill that giant. No pause, no thought, no, well, maybe I ought to think about this. Could I maybe come back in an hour? Let's pray. Let me pray about that. Would somebody help me right now? It's assurance of mind, firm belief, trust, reliance, boldness, courage. So after finding those fish, I went and got the guys and I said, let's go. So there's three boats down there. And we got back to camp and everybody's going to go to, by the way, Noah, what do we call that bay? The wilderness is now Mickey Bay. I mean, I ain't Christopher Columbus and this ain't America, but I did discover Mickey Bay. And he's making me more like him, and he's making you more like him, and he's building your confidence. And I talked to Dennis Gatlin, and I baptized him in the Pacific Ocean. And I pastored in South Bend. I'm pastoring in St. Paul, Minnesota. I love this church more than I've loved anything in my life. And he's sending me to South Africa. Listen to me. And there's not a demon in Africa that I can't whip. There's not a disease that can stand. I'm on my way on purpose. I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear, and he's sending me to South Africa, and I can take that too. You got to get this in your spirit, you guys, because the stuff that you face today is real. The challenge is real. My God, it's unbelievable the pressure some of you are under and the things that you're going through. And I can't even imagine the pain that Francine's facing right now. But I will tell you this, I'm confident. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm confident that he that started a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let the enemy win. He's not going to let your thoughts thwart his plan. He's going to convince you until you stand confident. I'm bold. I'm confident. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you leadership 101. Whatever you do, do it with confidence. If you're going to be a leader, if you're ever going to do anything, make up your mind, I'm going to do this and then go. Don't be piddling around. Is that an old-fashioned word? You know what I mean? Don't back up and say, well, maybe I think I will, or I should, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know for sure, maybe not. Oh, I can't. You got to be confident in him. You got to go through some stuff. Now, you listen to what I'm about to tell you. Everything that God does, he doesn't do from scripture, from some preacher talking to you or some song. Sometimes he lets circumstances in your life teach you who he is. You got your own testimony. Oh, You got your own testimony. I got my own suitcase. I got mine. You got yours. You got to look back and say, you know what? I thought it was over. I did not believe, and he carried me through. And I'm more confident now than I've ever been that God is going to bring it to completion. He can finish what he started. He's going to do it. I said he's going to do it. Listen to me. He's going to do it. I know what you're facing. It doesn't matter today. My faith's too big. My brain's about to blow up. I'm telling you right now, God is going to do it. He's going to do what he said. He's going to bring it to completion. Do not give up. Don't falter. I know it's heavy. You're sweating it out. You're weary. You're weary in well-doing. But God is going to do what he said he would do. He talked to me in 1975 about going to South Africa. I made plans in 1976. 40 years later, I'm going to South Africa. Today, I'm on my way. And I don't know how that feels to you, but that freaks me out. And there's something that gets on me when I realize that. I'm thinking, I don't know where and I don't know when, but there's going to be just one burst of fireworks after the next. This is not the grand finale of my life. This is just one thing he put on me, on my mind. And I'm telling you, face your trial with boldness. Face it with boldness and come out saying, like I do, I can find those fish. I'll find them and I'll take you to them. And Jesus said, hey, throw it on the right side. Huh? Throw it on the right side. That's where the fish are. And people say, oh yeah, well he's God. He knew everything. No, I'm telling you, he had fish on the fire, baby. He had been out there fishing. And he said, they're right there. I thought it was a miracle all my life. I honest to God thought it was until I drove and got those three boys to come down there and fish by me. And he said, I told you, you're just like me. And I went, okay. I believe it. Bow your heads, would you?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.